on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
On this episode of Entertainment Education, the podcast, The One with Health, get your glasses of wine ready as we talk about Shonda Rhimes, Grey's Anatomy, and all things health and fitness. The storylines on medical dramas aren't only for entertainment, but also for teaching. Social change could happen as you sit down and watch an episode of Scandal. We also discuss why teaching fitness and exercise, especially to children, is so, so important in this day and age. My co-host this week is former MTV and NBC fitness expert and founder of Kids Leading Kids, Saran Dunmore. So join us on our workout this week with Entertainment Education.
Help, Spanish. You're taking 12th grade calculus?
Yeah, I like math.
Ew, why?
Because it's the same in every country.
It's beautiful.
Entertainment Education, the podcast, an 8-part series where host Alan Babiarz Lira will take you through the journey of how entertainment can educate and create social change.
Oh, yes, the past can hurt. But the way I see it, you can either run from it or learn from it.
Welcome back, Entertainment Education, the podcast, episode 6. I cannot believe that we have made it this far, but this is going to be a fun one. Why? Because, you know, I say this every episode. Not only do I love getting to know my host each episode, but getting to talk about their field and getting to pick their brain about their expertise is so much fun. And this week's person is no different. I've known this young lady, gosh, probably about 10 years now, maybe a little bit more. And she has been a joy, a light, an inspiration, and is the perfect person to talk about health and entertainment education together. Her name is Saran Dunmore, and she started her career at Middle Tennessee State University, where she majored in mass comm. But she was also a track and field star, right? She was there on a scholarship. So as an athlete and as a media person, she came together and created her first public access television show called Sweat, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. And then in 2007 and 2009, she created her own fitness DVDs from there. Wow, DVDs. We don't use those much anymore, do we? And then she went to this little channel. One of you guys might have heard of it, called MTV. And I actually remember watching this show as it came out the first time. I actually believe I might have been in that high school age or right afterwards. But she used to be a fitness coach on the show called I Used to Be Fat, which helped high school seniors lose weight before college. She's also doing fitness segments on NBC Chicago for just under 10 years. And we're going to talk about how she's come full circle now, because she produces some of them with her beautiful, beautiful and lovely daughter. So we'll talk about that. But without further ado, please welcome this week's guest, my friend, fitness professional, Saran Dunmore. Saran, my friend, hello.
Hello, Alan. How are you?
I am so good. First of all, thank you so much for being here with us this week. You are always a joy and a pleasure to talk to, and I am so excited to talk to you this week.
Me too. I always love chatting with you, Alan. You ask some of the best questions. Your energy is just as high as mine, and I really always, always enjoy talking to you.
Oh, well, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, if you don't mind then, why don't we just jump into it? Is that all right?
Ooh, let's do it.
All right. Let's go back. Let's go way, way back. Little Saran, this is usually where I start. Little Saran running around. How did you get interested in health and fitness? And where did that come from?
So it came from my parents. And it's very interesting because the way I grew up is also the way I'm rearing my daughter. And I know you said we'll talk about that later, but I started becoming interested in health and fitness at the age of 4 years old. Can you believe that?
Wow.
So my parents both were athletes, and there was at one point when I was four, my sister, I'm the youngest of three girls. So we were four, five, and six. And our father would routinely exercise, you know, in front of us. And we'd always be so interested. And just looking at him, it just looked like so much fun. And for him, that was, I think, the goal, because he had all of these gadgets and we just wanted to try them. He had a twisty board, you know, ones that you sit on that twist side to side when you move it. Mm-hmm. So it works your obliques. And he had this inverted table. So we used to go upside down. So he had all of these gadgets. And for him, you know, he wanted us to live an active lifestyle. And so did our mom. But he would create a fitness routine for us to do. And we were always so proud to do it and show him, we finished. And you know what it was? It was three sets of military style push-ups, not modified with the knees on the floor, but because kids can do what you think they can do, right? We didn't know.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we did some military style push-ups, squats, and calf raises. And that was our routine for a long time. And then from that point on, we've just been actively living, if you will.
And for you and your sisters, it was almost like a game. You weren't thinking about doing the actual action. You were just thinking about completing the task.
Absolutely. And I think that was his goal. He wanted, later we talked, and he did. He wanted to make it exciting and fun for us, because fun is the most important component when it comes to anything, I think. And he did just that. He made it fun. And then our mother took the baton and enrolled us in summer track at, I think, I don't know, 11 in summer track. And, you know, we never looked back.
Your mom took the baton. Was that pun intended?
The pun was intended. And I didn't finish because I say we never looked back, except to get the baton in a relay.
Oh man, so man, you are funny. I love it. So let's fast forward a little bit to your college years. What got you interested in the media? And you created your own public access television show and all this at a really, really young age. How did that passion come about?
It's so interesting. And I will say, that interestingly enough, my first major in college was mechanical engineering. So that was my major for 2 years. And then I switched gears to communications. But when I first went to college, I thought I wanted to major in mechanical engineering because I absolutely love taking things apart, figuring out how they go back together, and then getting it to work again. So it still is my passion, actually. I still love doing things like that. And so that was my first major. And then I realized maybe it's not for me. The math, the calculus got a bit more complicated than my brain wanted to withstand at that moment, my sophomore year of college. So
I feel that.
Yeah. So I always knew I was good at making friends, meeting people, you know, being unafraid to just put myself out there. So I said, let me switch gears and see if communications is right for me. And the the college that I transferred to. I went to University of Missouri, Kansas City, UMKC, for the first 2 years. And then I transferred to Middle Tennessee State University on a track scholarship. And they had one of the best communications programs in the country. And so it, for me, it was twofold. It was like, man, I get to do track and field. And then I switched my major to communications. And the rest, I mean, I just kept going from that moment. You know, like I said, I was always, you know, comfortable meeting new people. When I got to campus, you know, I just talked to every single person just because it's in my personality. That's just who I am. You know, I want to say hello. I think we all have something in common with each other. So I was just always speaking to people, introducing myself. I was a new girl on campus on my junior year. I had a look about me where people just said, who is that girl? I cut my hair off. So I had a low fade, if you will. So I cut my hair off and just doing fun stuff. And so when I majored in communications, I met like-minded people. And one of the girls that I met in that, she wanted to be a producer and I wanted to be in front of the camera. So we took classes together. She produced and came up with the idea to have a show called Onyx, where she produced it and I was the host. And it was really cool. On campus, we would interview, you know, people who were leaders in their field. So the African American studies professor, we would interview sororities and fraternities and just talk to them about college life, the stereotypes, all of these things. So I was the host of that. And then I realized, man, I want to do this myself. I want to produce my own fitness shows. So that's what I did.
And is that what you're referring to, SWEAT? Is that correct?
Yes.
And SWEAT is an acronym, right?
Yes. It stands for Students Willing to Exercise and Train. And I tell you what, Alan, I know we're going to talk about this later, but
no, I'm ready. I'm ready to jump into SWEAT.
Let me go into it. So talk about full circle. So I said the meaning then was students willing to exercise and train. Mm-hmm. And I've changed it now because I started a company called Kids Leading Kids. And I want to change that acronym. It's still going to be SWEAT, but it's going to be students who exercise and teach. How cool is that? Isn't that just so full circle? I can't even wrap my head around how one thing led to the next and then came right back to the beginning.
You know, on the last episode, we were chatting about, the last episode was on sports and how much you can learn just by playing on a sports team. You know, there's so many valuable lessons. We chatted about that for a few minutes. So I love that you're bringing in exercise and teaching, because I think that the education part, you know, specifically, and that not just because this is entertainment education, the podcast, but that the education part, the teaching part is so important. Yeah. You know, what were you able to teach by creating SWEAT?
So I was able to, well, the goal now is to teach the kids how to lead and how to be fitness leaders of their peers. So when I teach them how to lead, it's not the physical fitness part of it. That is going to come from their existing passion. But I teach them how to lead, how to communicate, how to empathize, how to look at the group as a whole and not, you know, as kids, you know, it's about kids, right? At that age, they don't have the tools to make it about someone else, but I give them those tools to, you know, look at your class, your peers, and teach them to get where you are. If you're living an active lifestyle, how can we get your peers to do the same? How can we get them excited about, you know, martial arts? Let's say you're excited about martial arts. How can we get them? And it's through education, through teaching them the things that a kid already knows. And then, you know, when I first did the television show back in, oh man, this was, gosh, maybe 20 years ago. Mm. Oh man, that's wow. Anyway, when I first started SWEAT, it was an outlet for me to get young people active. And I wanted to be a leader and live an example of what it meant to live an active lifestyle and get out here and let's sweat. Let's, you know, be unafraid to move our bodies and sweat a little bit. So that was the goal then, and the goal now is to get kids doing that for each other and their peers.
Oh, I love that so much. I love that. And I wish you well with your new organization. I hope that it is super, super successful. You know, it's important to, you know, and when I'm in the classroom, when I'm in front of there teaching these introductory communication courses, finding common ground among all the students is so important. So as, you know, you're helping these children become leaders, you know, you're hopefully helping them find common ground within their peers. And you're like, hey, come join me. Come yes. do this with me. You can yes. have fun with me. That's so important, is that inclusion of everybody, you know? I love it Absolutely. So much.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. Really, really excited about it.
So can we switch paths a little bit where we're going? Do you mind?
Alan, we can go wherever you want. I'm ready.
All right. I want to talk about MTV and reality television. I want to get into it. But you know what? Let's just keep this between us, our friends, just our couple listeners that we have out there. I want to know, how real is reality TV? Now, when I say this to you, you were a personal trainer on a show. Okay. That was your job, right?
Mm-hmm.
How much did MTV have in a say of you doing your job? And how much say did you have in you doing your job?
No, that's a very good question. I would say that I was given 100% free reign to do what I do. Because before the show aired, you know, they had the coaches, the trainers, you know, submit a sample workout plan that we would give the kids, a sample meal plan that we would encourage the kids to follow. And then from there, they let us implement that. And you know, some of my episodes, what really stood out for me, and if you talk to some of the kids, because I'm still friends with Dominic, who was one of the young people that I trained on the show, you know, for me, it was more about teaching them, again, full circle moment, teaching them how to be leaders and stewards of their own health. And MTV, that gave me the platform to really help these kids do that. Now, the reality behind sometimes their weight loss, that could have been looked at as a bit fudgy, because, you know, we had to shoot the moments and they wanted dramatic weight loss showings on the scale. So sometimes the show would say, oh, it took a week. But in reality, it may have taken 2.5 to 3 weeks. So we just kind of fudged the dates a little bit. But the kids did lose the weight that they said they lost in the end. So that was the only thing, because we did have a finite time for this show. You know, the show really needed to show that the kids did in fact lose this weight in this amount of time. But
you know, sorry,
we went to I remember, you know, a couple of episodes when the kid didn't get to their goal weight by the end of the taping, so they mm-hmm. extended it a little bit, and they sent me to a couple of the kids their college. They sent me to the college to kind of check in on the kid, work them out a little bit to really make sure we hit that mark, especially
really?
Especially for the reunion episode, or the final episode, where we check in with them after college and say, hey, how's it going? You know? Yeah.
Wow. Well, because we are, you and I are of a certain age. I forget, not all of our listeners may know what I used to be fat was. So for the people who may not know, you want to explain what I used to be fat, what the show was about?
Yes. Well, let me start by saying the producers who produced this show, I Used to Be Fat, also produced The Biggest Loser. So that just goes to the credibility of the show and of the creators, and how much backing we did have back in those days. Those days, that sounds ludicrous. But
I know.
But the producers produced this show called I Used to Be Fab, and they wanted to really tap into the high school seniors that wanted to lose weight before college. I took it a step further because for me, the weight is not always the number one issue. The issue for me that I thought was, having more confidence and believing in yourself. So my position was, yeah, I'm going to help these kids lose weight. That's going to be the byproduct. But my first goal is to help them build their self-confidence 100%. Because without that, there's nothing that you can accomplish and feel good about it. I wanted to build their self-confidence, their self-belief, and let them go out into the world with this new image, this new body, and this new found belief in themselves.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And I actually didn't know, now that you tell me, I didn't know it was created by the same people as the Biggest Loser. That's real interesting.
Isn't that? Yep, they produced the show for the kids. Yeah. And it was
Huh.
designed to help them lose weight and, have a better image before they went off to college.
Well, it sounds like you did a lot of great things on the show. And I know this is going to be a hard question to answer, but what do you think is or was the greatest lesson that you were able to teach while you were on I Used to Be Fat?
Based on what I just said and what's really in my heart, that question really takes me to the thought of giving kids the tools to believe in themselves. I think that was the greatest thing that I took away from my experience there, that what kids need is someone, A, to believe in them, but then also B, someone to tell them, hey, you can be your own best cheerleader. There are things that you can accomplish on your own if you just put your mind to it. So I feel like I gave a lot of the kids that I work with those tools, and I feel really, really good about my role in their future. Did I
I love
answer your
it.
question?
Absolutely. No,
Come
I
on.
know that's a, it's a difficult question. It's like, what's the one thing you could do? It's so, there's so many things that you've done and like, and as these memories come back to you, as you relive, your show, I'm sure you, each time your answer could change also.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely.
Yeah, because you're
So,
right. Oh, sorry. I was just going to
no.
elaborate. There are other instances where, I had to teach kids how to deal with the conflict between themselves and the life they wanted to live and their parents and what their parents' desires for their kids' lives were and how to figure out how to navigate that. How do you communicate? You're 18 years old. How do you communicate to your parents? Hey, mom, hey, dad, I'm ready to do this thing over here. I know you wanted me to do this, but this is what I want. And so helping kids navigate that, I feel really great about my role in doing that. And I mean, listen, I could go on and on about the impact that I feel like I had on these kids. I really could. Because it came from my heart. And I think anything you do, if it comes from the heart, you're going to make an impact.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I'm so passionate about teaching, because it comes from my heart. So if you don't mind, I love talking about you, but let's leave you for a little bit. All right, let's virtually grab a glass of wine. You ready? Cheers. Clink. And let's talk about I don't know if you've ever heard of this young lady. Her name is Shonda Rhimes.
Wait, who?
Shonda Rhimes. She's a newcomer. I don't know if you've ever
Oh.
heard of her. She hasn't done any shows,
Ah, yes.
very few shows.
That does ring a bell.
But not just Shonda, like Grey's Anatomy, going back to ER and Chicago Med, all these great medical dramas. That are, they can teach a people lesson while, being entertaining. Why do you think people are so fascinated by these dramas?
I think they either know someone who's experienced something that they're watching on TV, or they themselves are experiencing some of these same symptoms. And I think, we are drawn to medical because these are really situations that happen in the real world. Shonda Rhimes didn't just create this from a magical hat. These are instances and situations that happen. And, I think people see themselves in those shows. If they have, let's say a twitching eye, or that's just something I just came up with. But, things like that that they see on these shows, they're like, huh, maybe I should get that checked out. Or if they have a rapid heart rate, or if their energy is low, things that they see, they say, huh, maybe I need to get checked out. And then I think the element of the drama bit of it, where they, have between the characters, I think that's all the soap drama. It keeps us coming back for more, and we want to see how it ends. We want to see the resolve. And I think that's why people are so drawn to these medical dramas, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. The love storylines and the car crashes and the dramatic stuff is weaved in within this important storytelling of social causes, and you kind of touched on this a little bit, but they show characters getting cancer or even so having something like alcoholism, and they shed light on these social causes to get checked. Would you agree with that?
100%. I think they do a great job at showing real life instances. These things are happening every day with someone we know or someone that's a distant a friend, but it's always a real life situation that they bring to light. And I think that is remarkable because we do like to be entertained, when we watch television, when we watch movies, all the time, when we read magazines, when we read gossip sites, look at social media, we want to be entertained. And I think these medical dramas, they do a good job of entertaining as well as educating. And I think they strike a perfect balance. That's why they're so popular and why they've been around for so many seasons and so many years. They strike the perfect balance.
I know Grey's Anatomy is on what, season 96 or something like that?
That sounds, isn't that where George Clooney started? That's just beyond me. It's just like, really? Yeah, 96. What in the world? Yeah,
No,
that's great.
I exaggerate 96, but they're up there.
God,
They're
yeah.
up there.
But it's just like the soap operas. The soap operas have been around, oh my God, who knows? All My Children, One Life to Live. They've been around since my grandmother was watching television.
Well, you go back before that, a lot of those soap operas started as radio shows. And
Oh, wow.
then, you can look at telenovelas in Latin countries as they cross over. And now you're crossing over into all of going back to episode one, which is a nice transition, actually, where I wanted to go into is there is a center in UCLA. We just lost the late, great Norman Lear. But this center is named after him, the Norman Lear Center, where screenwriters can go and work with actual medical students to get real details on a storyline of breast cancer or a different disease, whatever. They'll work with a specialist to get the real details out. And I think that's what's so important with these dramas. Because, like you said, we get the entertainment, we get the education, and we get it all within this 42 minutes, and we're enjoying it, right? People get together and have Shonda Rhimes parties for a reason, right?
I remember watching Scandal. That was the big deal back then, too.
Well, exactly. Well, that'll be my next question. What were some of your favorite dramas and why?
Scandal for sure. Oh, I love that show. It just kept me on the edge of my seat. So that's my why. Something that keeps me guessing because I'm one of those people who can maybe be a little bit annoying where I figure out in the first episode, oh, I noticed this happened. So watch out for that. And I'll say it verbally. Sometimes people just want to watch and just be along. But I'm that one who's like, oh, did you see that? And folks are just like, oh, Saran, okay, did you have to point it out? Let me just watch it, right? Let me be immersed. But
Well,
I I can't help but notice. So things like that, especially when I'm proven wrong, I love to say, oh my God, where is it going now? So things that keep me wanting to more and more and more to find out what the end result is, those are the shows that I love. But my favorite are the dramas with how can I describe? I mean, I know it has a description, but Investigation Discovery 2020.
Oh,
Date,
yes.
listen, Dateline, do not play with me. If I have a free day to myself without my daughter interrupt, if I have a free day, I'm watching Dateline 2020 back to back. Investigation Discovery is my favorite channel.
I was just watching Forensic Files all night last night because
Oh, yes.
I had a few couple hours to myself. So I'm like,
Yes.
I'm gonna turn on something mindless that I could just have on in the background and yeah, no, for I love Forensic Files and all of those. Yeah, those are great.
Yeah, but you say mindless, honey. I am into it. That
Or
I am
not
my
mind,
mind.
yeah, no, you're not mindless, but I mean something I don't have to, really, really, you do have to pay attention because you're trying to
But
figure out who's trying to solve the crime, but
right.
you can enjoy it and learn from
Yeah,
it.
I know what you mean. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
shows like Bull House, love those. Oh, my favorite.
I literally just finished House for the first time
Wait,
last week, the whole series last week.
wasn't it amazing?
That was not the ending I was expecting.
I can't remember how it ended. See, I'm one of those
Holy
people.
moly.
Oh my gosh, tell me.
Spoiler alert to our audience, but it's been off the air for a while, so I think you're good. But spoiler alert, House faked his own death so that he could stay out of prison,
That's right.
so that he could stay with Wilson for his last remaining months because he was dying of cancer, his
That's
best
right.
friend.
I loved
I
it.
was like, oh, I was not, that's not what I thought was going to happen.
What did you think would happen?
I thought it was he was going to be his normal selfish self and take his own life. That's
Yeah.
what I thought was going to happen. No.
Yeah.
But no,
Yay.
he did it for somebody else because he loved him.
Oh,
He
and
loved
isn't
his
that?
best friend. Yes.
Yeah. He but
But it.
he always had that tough demeanor, but I was thinking, House, you're not fooling anybody. We know you
No.
care. No.
I was gonna say one comment. I don't think you and I could ever go see like a horror movie or a thriller movie together because we would just be talking the whole time. Oh, did you see that? Oh, did you see that just happen? And the whole theater would probably be mad at us. So I don't think that's a good idea.
We should try it just for this reason because I think you're absolutely You're absolutely right. Let's do it, but we can make sure that we whisper so we don't ruin the experience for other people. But I think we would,
Bingo.
and I love stuff like that because I can do that and I can still see everything. So when I talk, it's not like I'm missing anything. You know what I
No,
mean?
me either. No,
Yeah.
absolutely.
Yeah, let's do
So
that.
let's get back to you though.
Come on.
A while back you started doing fitness segments on NBC and you've been doing it now, what, over 10 years now, and now you get to bring your beautiful daughter with you and
Yeah.
some of them that I've seen. Tell us how that all started. How did you get hooked up with NBC? And let's go back there.
Okay, so that started back in 2000, maybe 6 or 7, and I was a, like we talked about earlier, a communications major, and there's a big conference that they do every year called the National Association of Black Journalists Conference, NABJ. I went there with the hopes of, being on television, but I wasn't quite sure in what role. I had talked to my mentor maybe several weeks before that, so I knew. And when let me just give you the rundown. When I talked to my mentor, that was a point where I had to discover exactly what I did want to do. And so she said, "Well, just write down all the things you love on a sheet of paper. Don't edit it. Don't think about it. Don't cross anything out. Just write everything down. I don't care if it's one thing." 30 or 30 things. And then we'll revisit this list and maybe try to cross-reference things and maybe pair things and see if we can, get to where you want to be based on the things that you enjoy doing. So two things that stood out was exercising and being on television. So my mentor, bless her heart, I just love the fact that she said, "Well, why don't you consider being a fitness expert on the news?" Alan, I had never thought about that because in college, you either want to be an anchor, a reporter, a sports reporter, or weather person. You don't think about, or traffic reporter, you don't think about being a contributor to the news. So when she said that, I said, okay. So when I went to this conference, I was armed with Sweat, the television show. I put it on the portable DVD player. It was popular back then. So I was like, listen, I was cutting
Now,
edge.
as I say, now you're going back, a portable DVD player.
Yes. And so, because I didn't want to take the chance that who I sat down with didn't have a DVD player. I wanted to be able to show exactly what I did in that moment when I spoke to people. So I brought my portable DVD player, my show Sweat, and then I went to this conference. And when I tell you, when I got there, I was so disheartened because for the first time, I would say ever, I just didn't feel like I belonged. And the reason I say that is because when I was walking through, everywhere I looked, people would just, they had on their suits, they had their briefcases, they were very serious looking, they were very put together, and everyone looked like anchors, news anchors. And I wasn't there for that. And but I got discouraged because I didn't feel like I belonged and I didn't see anyone that was, kind of had the same energy as I did. And so I just really went back to my house, my friend's house who I was staying with in DC on my visit there. And I called my mother and I said, Mom, this is awful. I don't feel great. I don't know what I'm doing here. And it makes me really tear up right now and get emotional because my mom said, Saran, just be yourself. Start talking to everybody. That's what you're good at. Start talking to everybody. And just tell them what you're there for, what you do. You have your DVDs. Tell them what you do. Like, it doesn't matter who it is. So, Alan, when I tell you I did just that, so just that my mother's confidence in me and her knowing why I was there, because I had told her and I knew, but then once I got there, it felt different. But when I called her, she gave me the confidence again. So I just went out there and I started talking to everybody. And I met significant people. And I will say, two people stood out. I sat down with, well, before I get to that, I'll tell you, when I was walking through, there was this guy who was coming in the opposite direction. And I recognized him from basketball. And I said, oh, and I saw this other guy coming from the direction I was coming. As he passed me, I said, oh, will you take a picture? And this is me with my full-on confidence again, back to myself. I said, will you take a picture of me? And the basketball player, his name was Stephon Marbury, I think. And I said, will you take a picture of me and this guy? And the guy that I gave my camera to, before he took the picture, he gave the other guy a high five, a fist bump, a dap, and they spoke. And I said, oh, you know him. And then he said, yeah. And I said, oh, cool. And so he took our picture, and then we were walking in the same direction. And so he said to me, you know what? I really like your energy. And I didn't understand that, but I said, oh, thank you. And so I told him what I was there for. He didn't ask, but I told him what I was there for. I had my fitness DVD. I wanted to be a fitness expert on the news. And then he gave me his card. He said, call me when you get back to Chicago. Because we explained I explained to him that I was from Chicago. He was too. And I said, no way. So he gave me his card. His name was Andrew Strope. At the time, I didn't know this, but when I researched his name when I got back, he was the sports agent to Dwayne Wade and a bunch of other NBA stars. So of course he knew the NBA player.
Oh, yeah.
And so, but I didn't know that then. So that was Andrew Strope. Him and I are still friends to this day. I love him, adore him. The next person I sat down with who really made an impact is the producer from, or director, I should say, from NBC Chicago. So at this national conference, Alan, you have people from all different stations across the country. So, from Philadelphia, New York, Chicago. The producer from NBC just happened to be from Chicago. And I sat down with her. Her name was Camille Edwards. And I said to her, I'm in Chicago, my personal trainer. I want to be a fitness expert on the news. And we chatted. I showed her my DVD, gave her full on energy, Alan. It was just full on Saran, go get them, right? And so she said to me, she said, okay, I'll keep your information. And do you do personal training on, to clients? Do you go to their houses? And I said, yeah, I do house calls. I'm in the gym. you know, I do it all. So she said, okay. So I became her personal trainer. So then we would talk. Yeah, we talked. And then she said, so you mentioned that you would like to be on the news. And I said, yeah. And she said, well, we'd like to invite you down to do a segment. Would you like to come? And that's my immediate reaction was no. I would love to come. She said, would you like to come? I said, no, I would love it. And so that was 2007. So I did that. And then after, you know, I don't know, maybe one other time I was on as a guest, a fitness expert, she called me, said, we want to hire you as part of the fitness team. And I just was blown away. And I just, from that point forward, a fitness trainer and a fitness expert on the news, absolutely loved every single second, every single second.
See, that just shows how important networking is, and you never know who you're going to run into and who you're going to meet. And don't be, you know, if there's anything that I want our listeners to get out of your story is don't be afraid to go up to somebody and say hello.
That's right.
Because if you and I would have never said hello, I would have never had this great relationship where I can call you up and you just say, yes, I don't even need to know what it is, Alan. Yes, I'll work on it with you.
That's exactly right.
So, you know, that it's so important to put yourself out there.
And I will add to that. It's so important to be yourself, you know, because like when I first got to this conference, you know, I felt myself almost walking like the people that were around me and holding myself like they were with their briefcases. I wanted to get a briefcase myself, you know, but that's but that's so not me at all on any level. Like I'll have a backpack. I don't carry purse. You know what I mean? That's not me. And so when my mom gave me the confidence and that energy boost to say, just be yourself and start talking to people. And then when I did that, oh my goodness, my goodness. I mean, it was just a difference of night and absolute day.
Yeah. You came back to, excuse me, but your saranness.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, one of my friends, she and I just became friends and she just became a client of mine. She, because my name means joy. Did you know? Yes. Saran means joy.
I did not know that.
Yes. And I mean, my parents named me that. And it just so happens that I am very joyful, really from the inside out. And so now she said,
you are a ball of joy.
Thank you. So what she said to me, she's like, you know, I wish you a beautiful, saranful day. So joyful day. Isn't that cool?
I love that. I'm going to start using that.
Me too. A saranful day.
Have a saranful day. All right. So these saranful fitness segments that you do on the news, right? These you saranful. Teach. I love that, right? You teach the audience some great things. So what can the audience learn from watching you do your routines and your segments on the news?
It starts with them. Don't have lofty goals where you don't do anything. Start where you are, you know, start with very basics. And what I really try to get across is start movement just with your body weight. And the goal really is to be active. And the second goal is to be consistent. Then you can start going into, you know, lofty weight loss goals or, you know, building muscle kind of goals. But the first thing, move your body. Second, move your body weight, lift your body weight as strength exercises. And then three, just be consistent. So every time I do a fitness segment, it's about being active, having fun, and moving your body. And, you know, when I first started, or I should say when I ended my almost 10-year career on NBC, they wanted to go in a different direction. You know, they wanted to go more towards hard news. And, you know, it just so happened that they got rid of all of their contributing segments, fitness, cooking, all of them. So, I wasn't bummed. I was very happy about my time there. And I thought it was just fantastic. And I was pregnant with Sanaa, my last segment on the news. And I'm so happy that I captured these moments and took pictures So I have her. I was maybe, gosh, 7 months pregnant, maybe 6 months pregnant. And so you could really see that she was just growing in there. And the opportunity when it came to come back on television, do fitness segments with her, oh my goodness. It was such a joy to do that and for her to see that I'm still practicing what I preach. And now she is a little active child doing the same thing I did, following in my footsteps, being active as a kid, having fun. And now she is right there on the news with me speaking. You know, it's just, she was mic'd up at one time on it. We were on WGN. They gave her a microphone. She was cool with it. You know, I'm like, go ahead, girl.
Oh my gosh, I love it. That she is another, she is a Saran, she is full of Saran full energy also.
Yes. Yes.
And just, we had gone to brunch and she's just a joyful,
Yes.
joyful little
Oh.
girl. So how does it feel? I think, in my opinion, I would call you full circle.
Yeah.
You went from teaching children on public access television to teaching on a major network to now teaching with your daughter and teaching other children with your own organization that you're starting. You've really made it full circle, and teaching and education have been so important to you.
Yeah.
So how does it feel to make that moment?
It feels right. It feels perfect. It feels harmonious. It feels like everything converged into this career now. I feel like I've with the start of my company, Kids Leading Kids, I feel like I've created my dream job. It brings in the education piece, the leadership, it brings in fitness and movement, living an active lifestyle. I am just so honored and humbled that I get to do and create more of what I absolutely love. It makes me feel, you know, pumped up to no degree. Like I can't even. Sometimes I just have to shake it out, Alan. I promise you. I just have to squeal like quietly or into my pillow because so much energy and so much excitement is in my little body that I have to get it out. So I'll wiggle or I'll just say, whoa! And it's just, I have to get it out. Sometimes I go for a run. Sometimes I'm saying, oh man, I need to do like 15, 20 push-ups, you know, just to get that energy out. And then I'm like, okay, this is it. It's amazing. To feel like everything that I've done up until this point is, you know, in this new company that I started, Kids Leading Kids.
I love that story. That is so important, so impactful, and like I said, teaching children is well, I teach big children. I teach college, but they're still children. But it's so important. And to bring in a health and fitness expertise from your perspective, I think is fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
So would you like to talk a little bit on about your company that you're starting and any projects you might be working on?
Of course.
Yeah.
So I in probably maybe a week or so, I will be a certified wisdom life coach for kids. And so that certification will give me the tools that I need, and also things that are already within me to be able to teach these kids these life skills of leadership to really help them develop as a person, and really give them the tools that they need to navigate in life. And then also, because health and fitness is my other passion, I combine that with these life skills, these life leadership skills. And so for me, you know, my company, I'm planning to go into schools or anywhere there are children who, you know, want to develop self-confidence, belief in themselves. I do this through storytelling activities. We have, you know, a lot of fitness, a lot of movement is incorporated into what I do. And, you know, I just really am passionate about giving these kids the tools that they need that they don't necessarily learn in math or in reading. Like, you know what I mean? We're teaching them these foundational things, but are we teaching them the interpersonal skills? And some parents may be, some parents may not have the time, you know, they may work full time, but their kids still need to feel, you know, confidence in this, in themselves. They still need to believe in themselves, lift themselves up and figure out how to navigate the world around them and their peers and how to be all inclusive and how, you know what I mean? So giving them these life skills combined with the fitness part of living is what I'm most passionate about. But ultimately I see kids leading kids, you know, going in different areas, kids leading kids, not only in fitness classes, but also through teaching art, through teaching dance, martial arts. So anything that kids are passionate about, I want them to become certified with kids leading kids so that they can go on and teach their peers.
You know, I try to push that onto my students. That lesson is to do what you love, right? Research what you love. When I work on projects, when I work on research papers, anything like that, it's got to be on a topic that I'm passionate about, because that's when I give it 100%.
Right.
And, you know, like you said, teaching these students this valuable lesson is doing what they're passionate about, like art or martial arts or anything, like you were saying, it could, you know, teach them so much. So that is such an incredible thing that you're doing. And I, you know, really, 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 if you need anything, please let me know. I will gladly jump in for you.
I'll hold you to that, because I believe,
of course.
I believe, yeah, because I believe when people offer their help, I believe in asking for it.
Absolutely. Anytime, you know, I'll always say yes.
Yay!
I will always answer the phone for your name.
Oh, that's sweet, Alan. Same here, as you know, for sure.
Well, Saran, I believe we are at about our time. I don't want to keep you, because, you know, I could talk for hours and hours and hours. And with your passion and my passion, we could go on for hours and hours and hours. And we have.
We have, it's true.
You know, first of all, thank you again for coming on today and joining me and talking about all the fun and exciting things that you have done and are doing. And I know you've got some exciting things coming up in the works too, so hopefully we can, you know, catch up again. You know, if we progress into another season, you can join us for another episode. I'd love to have you back.
I would love to be back 100%.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much. For our listeners out there, we got two more episodes coming out. The one with social media and the one with Disney. So look for those out in the next few weeks or so. As always, Saran, it's been a blast. Thank you for joining me. Listeners, thank you for listening today. And as my friend Mickey Mouse says, we'll see you real soon.